Ladies, can we just pray for a moment? If the Lord would just speak to us, okay? Father, we just thank you so much for this time, this divine appointment that you have given us. Lord, I thank you for these dear, precious ladies who have a heart for the next generation, Lord. And I just thank you so much that it's not about us, Lord. We have no answers. We just have to point people to you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Again, just anoint these words. Just speak to our hearts, Lord. And we do pray for this next generation, Lord, that they would be have their own Jesus movement. There would be another revival, Lord. We are begging you for that, God. We just need another revival because, Lord, we know that is the only hope for this country. We know kids are so lost. Adults are lost. So, Lord, may there just be the next generation of Amy Carmichaels and Moody's and Spurgeons. Oh, God, we pray for that, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay. My name is Karen Pulley, for those of you that don't know me, and I'm from California, but I love the East Coast. Funny how Gene says, I mean, I thought Lloyd was crazy when he said, I think God's calling us to New Jersey. I'm like, really? Okay. But I always say when you want to know what you, if your lipstick is okay, ask a Jersey person, because they'll say, oh, yeah, oh, that's not good for you. No, no, don't wear that. But a California person will say, forgive me if you're from California, will say, oh, you look nice. Okay. Anyway, so you know what? I pray that some of these things minister to you. We so don't have it together. Let me tell you this. None of us do. We just, Lord Jesus, if you don't come through on this retreat, and hasn't he so blessed this retreat already? I'm just amazed what he's, I feel like even Monday night we could have gone home and just got what we needed. So he's so good. But I just want to start with this poem, The Bridge Builder. And it says, an old man going a lone highway came at an evening cold and gray to a chasm vast and deep and wide through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fear for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said a pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I have come, he said, there followed after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been as nothing to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. So, good friend, I am building a bridge for him. I'm just thinking of others. And, you know, we don't really have time to go into the whole scriptures of 1 and 2 Timothy, but I love that. It's just kind of a glimpse into Paul the Apostle passing on to Timothy. I just love what he told Timothy, the youth. You know, never us, and I remember, you know, leaving my home church, Roland Sharon Reese, and I thought, I'm just terrified to be a pastor's wife. This is just like the worst thing. And she goes, don't let anybody despise your youth. If God's calling you, you're the woman for the job. And that really stuck with me. That really stuck with me. And I learned I have nothing to give but what was poured into me. And again, I'm going to talk about that. We are so blessed by the women that pour into us. We just pour it out onto them. But first, 2 Timothy, read that on your own. Timothy, you know, is just learning to stay on that path. And if you don't stray to the left or to the right, and those times are going to come. Again, it was hard not watching. Tara was in my room, and she lives in Baltimore, so she had YouTube on, and we're hearing all this. Just, wow. This country, Lord, help us. But may our, you know, lights burn brighter. May they see, okay, Christians have hope. These people have no hope. I mean, finally, the mayor said, what good does this do? You just ruined your city. What good did that do? We just really need revival. People are lost. And how do we compete, with all the distractions and gadgets? Does it drive you crazy? Maybe it's just me. Airports, restaurants, doctor's offices, everybody's down. Everybody's like this, down, just looking at their cell phone. No more eye contact. I love it when I can make eye contact with someone because somebody's actually want to talk to me. Wow. You know, you be on the lookout for that. But how do we compete with Instagram, Pinterest, all this stuff? And somebody said, you ever wonder why it's called the World Wide Web? It's a web. Caught in a web. I like that. And a cell phone? prisoners are in cells. I'm all about, you know, posting, you know, just great stuff on Facebook, eternal stuff. And I try not, is there no end to how many people's posts you can read? It is a waste of time. I try to just, okay, 5 minutes and that's it. I don't need to know. We don't need to know whose dog went to the vet. And I just got a Starbucks today. Like, oh, really, really, really? I don't know. Lord help us. But how do we compete with all that stuff? Because they're lonelier than ever. They're lonelier than ever. The phone can't hug you. Facebook can't help you. That's not face-to-face. You need a face-to-face. They are lonelier than ever. And I'm finding that they're still craving a real hug, a real touch. And I love just ministering wherever I go, in the market or at church especially. I just make it a habit of gravitating towards the young people and hugging them and smiling at them. It really makes a difference, I have to say. It really makes a difference. They need that. Cell phone can't love you back. And we need to shine brighter, speak louder, and love stronger than the world is. And again, the world is so empty. They really are lonelier than ever. And again, we can't do it because maybe some of these kids just annoy us. And why are they that way? And, ooh, they're dirty or whatever. The Holy Spirit can give you that love. I always remember, I just think Kay Smith was part of it, was the real reason why the Jesus movement happened. She says, I wanted to see a hippie, and I wanted to just find out why they're doing what they're doing, and I just want to love them. This woman went out of her comfort zone and then even said, Chuck, let's invite a hippie to dinner. You know, I mean, you probably know the story, but this woman loved hippies, and look what happened. The Jesus movement, through, I think, one woman, and of course Chuck was so loving, just loved these people, saw what Jesus saw in Peter. Peter is the rock. Peter, who's going to deny the Lord and so wishy-washy, he's the rock. But a relay race is only as good as the baton handoff. Oh, you can have some of the best runners because, oh, he dropped the baton, or, oh, he was too slow, or, oh, the other one didn't catch it. A relay race is only as good as the handoff, as the baton. And, you know, again, most of us, we're part of the Jesus movement. I remember sitting under Pastor Chuck's teaching and just being in that electric time. Oh, this is amazing. Let's pass it on. Let's make sure we give them that sense, you know, you can have your own Jesus movement. God wants to do another Jesus movement, and I believe he does. I really, really do. I think we're going to see it. And, you know, as things are getting darker and darker, I love what Anne Graham Lott said one time, things aren't falling apart, they're falling into place. That is so helpful. Things aren't, our Bible's coming to pass right before our eyes. You know, and I'm finding, as hard as people are to talk about Jesus, all you have to do is say ISIS, and they're like, oh, does the Bible say anything? Yeah, it does. You know, the Bible does talk about, if you follow me, God says, I will push down your enemies, but if you don't follow me, your enemies will multiply and overtake you, and that's just what we're seeing. I've never seen a more weak, inept people to not stop what's happening. You know, no one fears us, but our hope is in God. Our hope is in the Lord, so... Okay, and Pastor Romaine used to say, you can't give a cold if you don't have one. So we can't give to the next generation what we don't have. So we need to get the goods. We need to sit at the Lord's feet. We need to know the Word of God. I've had, this is really a scary thought. I mean, just, you know how don't you hate drop-ins? People that just drop, that's me. I just need, let me fix my hair, let me get dressed. I just don't look so good, I'm cleaning or whatever. I'm doing my dishes at the kitchen sink, and I see this girl come right up to the door, and I kind of want to just, like, hide. But the Lord said, oh, you minister to her. And, you know, we brought her in the house, sat her down, and I'm just, thank you, Lord, for our devotional life. Because I didn't go, okay, let me look that up. The scriptures just were pouring out. And just, Lloyd and I were just oh, thank you, Lord, that it came out. It was just there. Whatever you put in will come out of you. You know, sitting at the Lord's feet, worship, learning, prayer, you will have what it takes. And Moody says, you know, how sad it is when people come with their buckets and they pull up, they drop down in our wells and they come up with the empty bucket. Is that us sometimes? Oh, Lord, help us. you know, they're so thirsty, and there's nothing in the cup because we haven't kept our fire burning. So we just need, best thing you can do, I think, for this generation is to be a woman of God. Let them be thirsty. Let them see your life. I mean, that's a godly woman. Because, you know, you do see some Christian advertisements where you go, if that's what a Christian is, sometimes I think I have to witness to people and say, but not the stuff that you see on TV. Because they go, oh, you mean those people, crowds? No, oh, no, not that. Please don't associate me with those people. It's hard to find good Billy Graham. It's hard to find good role models. But I'm like, go to a good Bible teaching church, you know, because some Christians aren't good advertisements, but you be a good advertisement for Jesus. Let them see your life. Let's be like John the Baptist. He saw where Jesus was going. Oh, there goes the Lamb of God. Follow him. Let's point others to Jesus. Don't think you have to point them to yourself. It's so freeing. You point them to Jesus. Look to him. You be Elijah. When, you know, Samuel, I love the story of Samuel, little Samuel, and it was so dark in that time of history. The lamp of God was going out, or the light of Israel was going out, and there was Samuel, who Hannah had dedicated to the Lord. And he heard, Samuel, Samuel. So he runs to Eli's room, and he says, did you call me? He says, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Here's it again. Samuel, Samuel, runs back to Eli's room. And I think finally the third time Eli gets it, oh, God is speaking to you. Go back to bed and he'll talk to you. And how sad that Eli wasn't the one that God was talking to. What a tragedy. But know when God is speaking. I tell kids all the time, God has a plan for your life. Because they're just purposelessness. These teens don't know what am I going to do with my life. And God has a plan for you. God has a plan for you. He knows why you're here. And that always kind of makes them think, really, God has a plan for me? Because I remember somebody told that to me as a young girl in church. I remember someone said, God has a plan for your life. And I thought, who should talk to me? You know? And that just stuck with me. But again, the best thing you can do is be a disciple yourself. Who is your Elizabeth? And what I mean by, again, keep looking at these ladies. Reading Kay Smith books, reading older godly women, reading Ruth Graham Bell's books, Isabel Kuhn, Missionary Stories. I just love those stories. There's just nothing better. And to me, there are Elizabeths. They pour into us. We look to them. I think all of us do are still in the ministry. I know for me, there are many times, and if I didn't have Jean McClure to call about Jeremy, I would have gone crazier, gone out of my mind. But we saw their prodigals come back to the Lord, Sandy's and June's and Jean's. How encouraging is that? And just how we need those Elizabeths. Because if you don't have an Elizabeth, then you won't have a Mary, someone that's looking to, you know how Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to Elizabeth and said, oh, look what's happening to me. I love the balance of the Mary and Elizabeth, someone you look to, but then someone that's looking to you. I don't know if there's anything that gets your act together more than when you realize somebody's watching you. And I'll tell you what, oh, does the enemy want to set? Do you ever have a really bad day? If you're at Walmart, I don't know, I love a bargain, but Walmart, I don't know what it is about Walmart. It's the night of the living dead. It's like nobody knows where anything is, and just the people are just, you know what, they're God's people. There's ministry in Walmart. But I find that I can get so annoyed, and what's wrong with these people? And I'm like, just as I'm going to say something to the checker, like, I don't have all day, I've got to get out of here, somebody will come up, Mrs. Pulley? Oh, I thought that was you. I'm like, I must look like there's somebody yeah. But, oh, thank you, Lord, that I didn't say anything, because they were watching you, you know, and how we just need to be that example when somebody's looking to you. The young teens at your church are watching you, whether you like it or not, they are watching you. So you be that example. But I love having young and old mixed together. It's so healthy. We need that. We need, that's why I'm just not a big fan. So I think school can be a challenge because they're with all their peers. And peers together, what is it in the Bible? The companion of fools will be foolish. Kids do not help other kids. Adults help other kids. How we need that young and old. It's so important. Speaking of missionary stories, there's one story that just so touched my heart. I think the book is out of print. It was called In the Arena with God. But Isabel Kuhn, a missionary to the Leishu Indians, before she was a missionary, she was in college. And they had a group of kids where they called an hour a day with God pact. And it wasn't a thing of legalism, but they said every day they wanted to make sure they spent an hour with God, which is really not that much of time, but I love that thought that every day, don't let a day go by where we don't spend an hour with God. You could break it up into 15 minutes, half an hour, or an hour, whatever you think. One particular day, just a busy, busy day, she was tired, she was hungry, and she realized, oh, I have not even started my time with God. So she was like, should I go to dinner? I'm so hungry. Should I sleep? I'm so tired. But I want to spend that time with the Lord. So as soon as the dinner bell rang and her roommate ran out the door to dinner, she goes, she felt like the Lord was saying, come and sit with me. She said, after that hour with God, she said, it was as if I had a 7-course meal and I had an hour of sleep. God just so strengthened her. And then she got another knock on the door saying, oh, did you know it's your turn to give devotions at Drama Club tonight? She's like, oh, thank you, God. Yes, I'm ready for devotions. I just had my time. And after the devotion that night, they said you could hear a pin drop. There was such a holy hush. And fast forward 20 years later, they all got together. They were sharing about their lives. And somebody said, remember that devotional that somebody gave? Remember how amazing it was? He goes, that night I decided I'm going to be a missionary. And another one said, oh, and I decided I was going to be a this or that. Or that week day, I decided I was going to be. She was just like dumbfounded. And God bless her humility. She could have said, oh, that was me. She just knew. She goes, yeah, I remember that devotion too. And just, wow, you just don't know who you're going to touch. That just so blessed me. You just don't know. Because she was so filled with God, she had something to give others. Oh, nothing greater. Again, I just think fondly of Kay Smith and Sharon Reese, the women that poured into my life. And I remember just watching them and observing them and wanting to be around them. You know, and God will send you those women. He really will. Whether it's through books or whether there'll be somebody in your church that you can look to. Because, again, you can't mentor unless you're being mentored by somebody. They'll be there for you. You look for them. Inspire. They inspired us. You know, Kay never had to tell us every day, I want you to have your devotions as a pastor's wife. I want you to do this. You wanted your Bible to look like hers, all ruffled up. Like, you wanted to be like her and pray like her. There's two ways you can lead. There's two ways you can lead. One is control, which is communism. One is control. And the only effect is rebellion and bitterness, right? If you control people, it's not really real leadership. It will only bring bitterness and rebellion. Or we can lead by, again, inspiration. Oh, I want to do, you know. And our parents were tricky, weren't they? They pretended like spinach was really good. Ooh, maybe that is good. I love, you know, just that's how my daughter got her children to eat salad. What kid likes salad? You should see my daughter eat her salad. Oh, this is so good. Her kids all are into salad. It's just so cool. If they see us loving our Bible and you actually like going to church, they will be inspired. I still remember my Sunday school teachers. And it's funny, and I still remember their clothes. They would be on that show, What Not to Wear. Don't you hate it when those people, like, as if you're going to go to some other place where you don't dress right. Please. God's going to ask them one day, are you dressed in the robe of my righteousness? I know, I always think of that. But they would have been on that show, What Not to Wear. But they were the most beautiful women. I still remember them to this day. They just had that Jesus spark on. I didn't know it at the time. I just thought, I wonder what this is. But as I got older, I'm like, they knew Jesus. And they just oozed Jesus. So to this day, I still remember them. And I hope, you know, some of us who have been in the ministry for years, I do have a little thing of letters where I save for people. So, Jessica, when I die, let my grandchildren read these letters. Not about us to go over and, oh, aren't I so wonderful, but the letters that sometimes moms write you or teenagers write you. Thank you for smiling at my child at church. My child had to be dragged to church, did not want to come. She goes, nobody's even going to notice that I'm there. And the Lord just gives you that sense. Go up and hug that girl. Go up and even just a little compliment. Oh, I love your shoes or whatever. oh my goodness, they're your friend for life that come to church every Sunday. You just don't know. And I don't mean to be phony. We really, they can spot a phony, can't we? But if God gives you that, I always pray, Lord, when I'm at church, show me, it's amazing how he guides you and leads you. It's so neat. So you'd be that woman with the hugs. Okay. And again, you look at so many mentors in the Bible, Abraham and Lot. What a sad thing, though. What happened to Lot? Saved soul, wasted life. Wow. Moses and Joshua. That's pretty amazing. Joshua. Wow. He carried on the torch. Moses and Joshua. Faithful. Elijah and Elijah. Ruth and Naomi. Oh, do I love that. You know, you often wonder, what would make a daughter-in-law stay with her mother-in-law? Naomi must have had something, right? Naomi must have had something. I love that. Like, no, I don't want to leave you. And Paul and Timothy, we talked about that. Jesus and the disciples. Wow. How when they heard him pray, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Oh, don't you want your young girls could you teach us how to pray because of how you pray? It's funny, I had a situation. This lady comes up. It's a little intimidating sometimes, the people that ask you to do stuff at church. She drags this group, but there were like three of them. Can you pray for these girls here? And you could just tell they were like, oh God, we're in church. This is just painful. This one doesn't know what college to go to. This one is other that she's going on. And I'm thinking, they don't want to pray right now. Can't you see? And I was just a little, oh God, help me. But I just thought, you know what? Let's do this. As we prayed, it's so funny. The Lord just gave me the words. And by the end of the prayer, they all had like a smile on it, like a real smile on their face. Like, thank you. Thank you for that. I was so blessed because I was just so scared. Like, oh, these girls are never going to come back to church. But you just do what the Lord wants you to do. Jesus and the disciples, books and biographies. We talked about that. Elizabeth Elliot, Amy Carmichael, you just find out how to read their stuff and their biographies. And anyway, but a mentor, what does a mentor mean? And first of all, I'm going to read the noun part of it. A mentor is an experienced and trusted advisor to advise, to guide, to counsel, and to be a consultant. An experienced and trusted advisor to advise, guide, counsel, and maybe to be a consultant. And you know, I thought about this. Really, ultimately, we have nothing. We have no wisdom. Don't put it on you. You just tell people, I want you to go read this chapter and tell me, come back to me in a week and let me know what God says to you. Oh, it's amazing with the stuff that, well, oh, I don't need to counsel with you anymore. God just spoke to me. He is the counselor. He's the consultant. He's the guide. We have no wisdom. And the verb for mentor is to advise, to train someone, especially someone younger or less experienced. You know, be that role model. And it's funny, as pastor's wife, do you find that some of the older women even, who maybe should be mentoring you because they really didn't have a good church, it's funny how they... I've had women say, you're so young, but I'm learning from you. I'm like, oh, wow, because I learned from somebody because I know nothing. So maybe even older women don't really know because they didn't have anybody, but you be that role model. You know, follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow me as I follow Jesus. I'm just following Jesus. Or it's the blind leading the blind. Lord, help us. The blind leading the blind. I have trees in my backyard that there must be like 30 years old. And I'm enjoying the shade from them, the beauty from them. I just love trees. And as I thought about it, those people that planted those trees, they don't get to enjoy it. They're gone. And I'm sure if they're in heaven, I'm sure they don't care. But somebody took the time to plant something that they might not get any benefit from, but I'm benefiting. And the Lord just so spoke to me. What are you planting right now for your grandchildren? Oh, that's right. I'm not going to be here. Who knows how long we have here. What am I planting for the next generation? Who will be enjoying what we do? Think about that. What are you planting for the next generation? You might not see it, but they will. And a revival, as awesome as it is, again, is only as good as us passing it on to the next generation, as they pass it on to the next generation. Moses had such a heart, again, for the next generation, and Joshua caught this from Moses. I love how Moses said, "Lord, blot my name out of the book of life instead of these people." Wow, that's pretty amazing. Joshua definitely took up the baton. Joshua didn't start a rebellion. I love how Joshua didn't say, "We're going to do it better." Don't you cringe when you hear people call Calvary Chapel a dinosaur? I've heard that. And someone said, "Who pays your bills and whose shoulders are you standing on?" Hello. We need to be respectful of our elders. I really think that, and again, look at the fruit. You know what? The proof's in the pudding. Look at the lives that came out of the Jesus movement, of the Word of God with the Spirit of God. No emergent church stuff, no seeker-friendly stuff, no lights and glitter and flash, no, wow, they didn't even have cell phones or sound systems really then. Just, can you imagine just the Word of God and the Spirit? Can you imagine, you know, how we just need to be respectful. Joshua did not start a rebellion. Look to the rock from which you've been hewn. Look again to those people. So thankful for Chuck's model of a servanthood, of a servant. He used to say, you know, people come and they want to, "Oh, Pastor Chuck, can we carry your suitcase?" He goes, "No, I need to be carrying your suitcase." I always love that. And I always remember my pastor's wife, Sharon Reese. I found her one time cleaning the bathrooms. I'm like, "Oh, you clean bathrooms?" And she's like, "Yeah, you want to help me?" "Yeah, you're cleaning the bathroom. I'm going to..." She was such a great example for me. We never get above that stuff. Somebody said, "There's nothing to do in the church." I said, "A servant will always find something to do." You know, servant will always find something to do. And again, exalting the Word of God with the Spirit of God. I've seen afterglows that have been led by the Spirit. Because haven't you been in some places where you go, "That wasn't the Spirit"? I don't know what that was. How we need to learn from these women and do these things correctly. Joshua was under authority, and he showed respect because, you know, we can't lead until we've learned to follow, right? Maybe your following years might be a little painful. Maybe you think, "I need to be in charge. I could do it better." But as you're, because it's not fun sometimes when people are looking to. I love what Jean said. "I wish that God would just text me, do this, do that." I loved being an assistant pastor's wife. I loved her telling me, "Can you do this? Can you help me with this? Can you do that?" And now it's like, oh, they're kind of looking to you. But again, we look to the Lord. Moses did not want to leave them like sheep without a shepherd. He wanted to just make sure they were so cared for, because wolves will bite and devour. You can spot a wolf a mile away. When troubles get tough, they leave these kids, or they leave. Is it a shepherd's heart, or is it a wolf? Does he want to just have these people drawn after themselves? Ooh, that's not good either. Okay, pass these things on to fat women. Faithful, available, and teachable. Fat, faithful, available, and teachable. And you'll notice them. First of all, they're faithful. You know, they're around. They're just the faithful women. They're available. They're there. They're around. You kind of see them. You notice them. They're available to do what you need them to do, or to help. And they're also teachable. They're hungry. Oh, can't you always spot someone who's teachable? They're always asking you questions. "And how do you do this? And how do you read your Bible?" Faithful, available, and teachable. They're hungry. They're learning. You will notice that. Okay. They are diamonds in the rough. Oh, I want to read you this too. This is so... just never know what a person's going to become with a little digging around, with a little fertilizing. Let me do this sort of thing. Okay. This is Knight's Book of Illustrations. I think it's still in print, but so many good stories in here. Okay, a diamond in the rough. "One night a boy stood under a street lamp swearing like a sailor. Dr. Homer Stutz, who believed in the limitless possibilities of even bad boys when changed by God's grace, approached the boy and began, talking to him. The friendly approach seemed to cause the boy to swear all the more. Not daunted by the boy's profanity and seeing beneath the rough exterior great potentialities, the gentleman invited him to become a member of the Sunday school class. The boy promised to attend, but failed to do so. The faithful teacher did not become discouraged, but continued to invite him to his class. Finally, the boy began to attend the class. He was bullheaded, irreverent, and the worst boy in the class. He constantly asked questions which nobody could answer. Somehow, the faithful and patient teacher saw behind the tricky questions great intelligence. Time passed. Then one day, Dr. Stunt said, "My boy, how would you like to go to college?" "The best in the world," replied the boy with a twinkle in his eye. He became a student at Northwestern University, where he made good. Later, he became a professional ball player. One Sunday afternoon, he heard the gospel preached in Chicago's Skid Row. He was convinced of sin and converted to the Savior. Who was that boy in whom a Sunday school teacher saw great possibilities in which an investment, the dividends of which can never be fully computed, this side of the judgment seat of Christ? It was Billy Sunday, who Billy Graham modeled himself after. Wow. The world's famed evangelist whose faithful preaching and soul-winning ministry brought many to Christ. Ooh, that's so great. You just never, never know. Appearances are deceiving, aren't they? Ask God to give you that heart. There's a certain line somewhere in Oliver Twist or Great Expectations. I love those old novels too, by the way. Met a kind lady who was a prostitute, and she said, "If there were more of you, there'd be less of us." You know, maybe if there's more of us kind people that give them Jesus, there'll be less bad people. Okay, and people don't know how much you care. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. It's really not that we just quote scriptures to them and, "Let me show you the way to go. You're lost, young man. Let me show you the way to go." No, just love them and care for them. That speaks volumes. And maybe you just know one scripture. That's okay. Give that one scripture, but in a loving way. A smile, a touch. It does wonders. It's amazing. There's a kid at our church too that just comes, and again, you just could tell by body language they just don't want to be there. And it's hard for me too, because I'm not a very outgoing person by nature, but just the Spirit of God, I just like the Lord was saying, just give him a little smile at him and just a hi to him. And just as months went by, I watched him. It's so funny. I was talking to a lady, and he walked, and so funny, he walked by me purposely, like, "Where's my hug?" It was so cute. It's like conquered by love. You just never know. The harvest is ripe. You know, look at the fields. They're just ripe for harvest. And don't you just cringe when you see the role models on TV? The Kardashians, God help us, Miley Cyrus, Katy Perry, Lord help us. It's just the saddest thing. Some of these people knew the Lord at one time. How we need to pray. Why aren't they looking to us? Why aren't they looking to us? Lord, help us again to outshine these people, these fading stars. Wow, help us, Lord. And another generation rose up who did not know the Lord. Wow, another generation rose up that did not know the Lord. There is that sense of urgency. You know, they're like wet clay. How we need to mold them and shape them. Now, the best thing is prayer. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus movement started by Kay praying, Kay weeping and praying. So you just pray, God's going to do something. And if it's not broke, don't fix it. Don't apologize for just giving them the word of God. Some people say, "Oh, you're so behind the times. You know, come on, homosexuality, really? We're in the 200s or whatever." Say, "Oh, no, no, the word of God does not change." Talk to Patty Height. She's on fire for the Lord. God rescued her through coming to church and hearing the word of God, and we just loved her to death, and it just broke her. She just realized, "I'm not in the right lifestyle, but these people love me." So I'll tell you, the word of God is powerful. Chuck didn't try to be cool and hip. I shared that already, or change the message. And again, look at the fruit. Greg Laurie, Raul Reese, Jeff Johnson, I could go on and on. There's healing power in the word of God. And again, I'm seeing that in my son. He's being resurrected by the power of the Word of God. Wow. The Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful than a two-edged sword. I remember being asked to, these girls were having a slumber party at this other church. It wasn't a Calvary. And these girls were wild, just wild, up until 12 o'clock at night. And I thought, and they could have stayed up all night. But I said, girls, before we calm down, before we need to get some, a little bit of sleep. But let's do just a little Bible study. Again, not 2 hours long. That would have been ridiculous. But let's just have a 15-minute Bible study. And you would have thought I said, let's drink dirt. Let's, you know. Wow. There was just such a, but I'm like, and I could have just, as I saw their face, could have went, oh no, that's a, sorry. I said, no, we're going to have a little mini Bible study. We're going to just read some scriptures, and because I just knew this is my chance. And the girl that had the hardest faith by the end of, I think I read the book of Philippians. We just read it through and made a few comments. She had tears pouring down her cheeks. She goes, I have never heard that Bible. I mean, God spoke to me through that. I'm like, oh, it just was like a little mini revival. We just talked about God for the next hour or two. It was really neat. The Word of God. Okay. Let me. Oh, yes. Oh, I said this already, but let me just read it again. Did you love the Crossroads poem? And I can't believe it went with Jean's message at the Crossroads. This is just. Do you mind if I read it again? He stood at the crossroads all alone with the sunrise in his face. He had no thought for the world unknown. He was set for a manly race. But the road stretched east and the road stretched west, and the boy did not know which way was best. So he took the wrong road, and his life went down, and he lost the race and the victor's crown. He was caught at last in a sinful snare, because no one stood at the crossroads there. Another day at this very same place, a boy with high hopes stood. He too was set for a manly race. He was seeking the things that were good. But one was there who the road did know, and that one showed him which way to go. So he turned away from the road that went down, and he won the race and the victor's crown. He walks today on the highway fair because someone stood at the crossroads there. I just love that. And just a few last things. The ministry of presence. You just be there. You just be surprised how... I like to hang out with the kids at lunch. I don't know some of their names, but I noticed as I've just gone to our school, hung out with the kids, they'll come and talk to you. There's something about when they just see, oh, she's always there. Let's go talk to her. We know her. They don't really know me, but since I'm there all the time, it's really neat. So the ministry of presence, you just be there. You know, recognize the need. You can just see a child that's really hurting, or you can see... God will just show you who to invest in. Teach them to serve. Teach them also to find out what are your gifts. Get them excited about. Again, God has a calling on your life. Are you really good at organizing? Could you help me organize the women's office? I know that's, yeah. No, they do get blessed because we hang out together. But just give them stuff to do. I don't know. Give them ownership. Say, you know what? Can you help me with this? Or just, again, this is your gift. Give them a vision. Give them a job to do. Commit these things again to faithful people. Mix the old and the young, Elizabeth and the Marys. And do formal and informal. You can just teach volumes by, yes, it's nice. Maybe have a 6-week class for the young girls. Let's talk about all kinds of stuff. I mean, keep it scriptural, but have a formal time with them. But also have a time where let's go to the mall, let's go witness, or let me teach you how to cook, or let's do something practical. You know, God will show you just those practical things to do with them. Just hanging out with them, bridging that gap, and maybe even have step out in faith and have seminars at your church and talk about their issues of abuse, abortion, sexting. I mean, like on their cell phones and the issues of the day, pornography, drinking, homosexuality. How sad it is that Christian women are buying the book 50 Shades of Grey. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. You know, when moms come and they, my teenager girl, she, you know, dresses like a harlot. I'm like, well, look at how you dress. I mean, I'm just saying, is she learning it from you? They're just clueless. You know, have testimonies. Testimonies are so powerful. Have girls that maybe struggled with that. Have a time where you share. Again, inspire them. You get on fire for the Lord. They will come out and watch you burn. Invest in their lives. It blesses you, because when you water, it comes back to you. I'm always amazed at that. You need joy, go give it to somebody else. It'll multiply. God will take care of you. as you give out. And maybe you're hurting. You know, I love Isaiah 58, how as you reach out, God ministers to you. It's amazing how that happens. Isaiah 58, you get on your own. There was an old town drunk one time that was watching. The church was on fire, and it was burning. And he's just standing there watching, and somebody came up and said, "Since when have you been interested in church?" He said, "Since the church has been on fire." I love that. You know, really, we have that fire. People will come out and watch. I remember the story of the train conductor that was actually charged with the death of four teenagers. And the judge asked him, "Did you have your lamp?" "Yes." "Did you have your uniform on?" He said, "Yes." "Were you standing at the where you were supposed to stand?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well then, you know, case closed. You're not guilty." And somebody walked away and said, "How did you get out of that one?" He said, "He forgot to ask me if my light was turned on." Oh, I mean, wow. Sometimes we're just doing all the right stuff, but is our light turned on? That's so important. What prodigal will be watching us? Who will be borrowing their fires from our home fires? So important. And we have seen tragedies in our church. And you know what? They're almost a wake-up call. We had a young man that was going to our church. One thing after another happened to his family. And Lloyd even told the father, "You know what? If you go down this path, it's not going to end well with you or your children." And Lloyd just, I felt like he had that word from the Lord. Next thing we knew, his son was getting caught up with some girl, and she ended up killing him, this young boy. It was just like, you couldn't even, yeah, it was horrible. It's like, wow. But it was such a wake-up call for our youth group. It was really a lesson. But I pray God had mercy on him. Who knows if, because I've heard moms tell me about their prodigal, how just as they were dying in a car accident, a police officer showed up. He didn't even know why he was there. This wasn't his day. This wasn't his route. He said, "I want you to know I got to pray with your son before he died." Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, God. I just think he's in our face before they die. God gives him chance after chance after chance. My son would be dead. I could tell you stories. There's times when he'll tell me, you know, he's forgotten a lot of stuff. He's had so much medication. He's so messed up his life, but God can heal it. But I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear anymore. I can't. It's too scary. I mean, the hand of God on him. But again, make Jesus attractive. Not that Jesus needs any help, but you be that example to where people go, oh, okay, I want to be like you. The gospel is written a page a day by deeds that you do and words that you say. People read, whether faithful or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Not merely in the words you say, not only in the deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ expressed. For me was not the truth you taught, to you so clear, to me so dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me, and from your heart his love is shed, till I lose sight of you and see Christ instead. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, this job is just way beyond us, Lord. But we thank you, God, that you can part the Red Sea. The walls of Jericho can come down. Lord, you can raise the dead. And Father, I want to pray for any woman in this room who just has a burden, has just a sense of what can we do for this next generation. Lord, we thank you that we have the answer, Lord. We have you with us. And we thank you that all we have to do is point people to you. And Lord, we just pray with these women in this room agreeing with me, God, would you send another Jesus movement such as we've never seen before? Would you send another ingathering of souls before it all breaks loose, before all hell breaks loose, Lord? We just see such chaos and such evil reigning, such corruption. Truth is trampled in the streets, but we thank you, Lord. You can't douse the sun. Lord, you are the bright and morning star. You're the victor, Lord. You have won the victory. So we thank you, Lord. We're not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. And Lord, we pray for all of our youth groups right now, that you would cause a fire to burn in them. Pray for our youth pastors who are so attacked, youth pastor's wife, whatever it is, Lord, just do a work, Lord. Do just a great work, Lord. And may our fires of love be burning brighter than the destructive fires that are burning in this world. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.